Lita Ford will be performing live at the Medina Entertainment Center this Saturday night, September 30th, along with April Wine, and you can get your tickets at medinaentertainment.com. I'm really excited to see you again. I saw you 2 years ago at the Medina.
Oh, awesome. Fun.
Yeah.
Awesome.
You come here a lot, which is cool.
Yeah. You know, the songwriting has been quite intense, and trying to get the right material and trying to top the last album, which the last album I thought was just really great and real and true, and trying to stay real and true and not make stuff up and just, you know, so we're doing that. And it's a concept album. I love concept albums. So it's going to be really good. I'm excited.
Cool. Do you all kind of get equal say in the writing process? Do you get to talk about what you want to talk about collectively?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The guys say what they feel. You know, if they don't want to write, then they say, no, nah, I'm not, you know, I don't want a piece of that. Or if they want to write, they're like, hey, check this riff out, you know? So it's just whatever the guys want. We're a real easygoing band.
Yeah, you've done a lot of live shows. You guys have been touring really hard. I swear, every time I go online, I see you're at a show or something, which is really cool. I think it's really awesome that you keep doing that for your fans, and
you
love it, so why not, right?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, and congrats on your book.
Thank you.
It's been almost 2 years, huh, that you released it, almost?
Oh, I can't believe time flies. But it did really well when it first came out. It was on Amazon for five stars for almost the first year. I believe the whole entire first year it was five stars. So, I mean, you can't beat that. That's the top of the notch right there. So I was happy about that because I put a lot of hard work into that damn book. It drove me nuts. It almost killed me writing that book. Because people don't understand, trying to find the right co-author, I just ended up saying, forget it. I got to do this myself.
Yeah.
Because people are not understanding what I'm trying to tell them.
Right.
And I think part of that has to do with the fact that I'm one of the first females to ever perform on guitar or on stage. And, you know, it just, people don't relate to it because it's not something that everybody does.
Well, and then your fans don't really care either, like how someone else perceives you either. They want to hear from you. So I think it was really good. I loved it. It was so easy to read.
Yeah. Yeah. And hard to put down.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about that. I know, like, your mom, you did that whole chapter on Isabella, which was really good. Yeah, I relate to you a lot in that sense. I've been dealing with some shit with my mom since March. She had a really life-threatening surgery and has just been in and out of the hospital since then. I was reading a lot about your relationship with your mom, and that kind of made me feel a little strong, you know, listening to Lisa and stuff. And
what a song. She was, God, it's the weirdest thing. My father was diagnosed with brain cancer, and it came on so fast. He had been given 3 months to live. And out of being healthy, all of a sudden he has a stroke and is diagnosed with brain cancer. So my mother, we were in the elevator. We were visiting him in the hospital during those 3 months. Coming down the elevator in the hospital, she says, Lita, in her thick Italian accent, she says, I feel a lump in the side of my neck. She said, can you look and see what it is? And I looked at it, and my girlfriend was in the elevator with me, and I looked at my girlfriend, and we both knew that it was cancer and it was coming back. After 10 years, she'd been fighting it. And we were both devastated. And then we didn't say anything. We played it off like it was nothing. And when she found out it was cancer, she died within a year after that. I mean, it was quick. It just, cancer is disgusting. It's the devil's disease.
Yeah.
It just eats you up. And made a mess of her. And I wanted to write her a song before. I wanted to give her a gift because I felt so helpless watching her disintegrate into nothing, like my father weighed into 60 pounds when he died. It was just terrible. And watching your mother go through that, it's just, I wanted to give her a gift. And I thought, what can I give her? You know, she's not going to be here much longer. So I wrote her a song, Lisa, and we did the video before she passed away. She used to go to get her chemotherapy with the video, and the doctors would stand around and watch it every time. And it made her feel good. It made her take her mind off of what was going on in her life.
Yeah.
And she just loved it because it was footage that my father shot when I was a little kid. So it had my father in it. I was in it. It was all of us in that video.
It is really a beautiful song. And I'm curious, where did you do your writing?
Oh, that, for that song, I wrote that all over the place. That's quite bizarre, that one.
Yeah.
That was something I worked out. It took quite a while to work out. I wrote some of it backstage at the Hammersmith Odeon in London at a Wasp concert, if you can believe that. But it got nominated for one of the best rock guitar solos in rock, yeah. Rock ballads, which is really cool because it does have a beautiful solo. So I was proud.
Yeah. Do you listen to it still? Is it hard for you to listen to it?
Oh, I cry my eyes out. I'm about ready to start crying now. I love my mother.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I loved my mother and father very much, and to see that on anybody is just...
Yeah, you've lost a couple friends to cancer. Sandy, huh? Sandy West?
Sandy.
Yeah. When was that? How long ago was that?
I want to say about 5 years.
Wow.
It's been a while. I don't know. It's just the devil's disease, and you know, we all try and fight it. I know Wendy Dio has events every year for Ronnie. He died from pancreatic cancer. I just show up and hang out.
That's awesome that they do that.
Motorcycle rides. And
fun.
They're really fun.
I bet. Oh my gosh. Well, that's really cool. Well, sorry, I didn't mean to get all personal with you and stuff, but I think that...
Okay. It's what the song's about, and I'm sure a lot of people can relate.
Yeah, definitely. I've related to it. It's helped me and stuff. And
good.
I think it's cool you are very open, you know, especially from reading your book. Like, you're so open about the things that you've been through and just how you feel about things. I think that's pretty cool.
Oh, good. Thank you. Yeah, I'm pretty open. And, you know, it's one thing a friend of mine said to me. He goes, if you're going to tell it like it is. Tell the truth. And don't hold back. And I didn't. You know, I didn't. I was, because some people get halfway through the book and they're like, oh, no, what's my mother going to think? Or, you know, what's my kid going to think? Or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's hard. You got to be careful with what you put in it.
Right.
You know, so anyway, I was proud of myself, and I'm really glad that it got so many comments and people loving it.
That's cool. Yeah, there were three big chunks of your book that I felt really connected to, one being the one about your mom, which was cool, we talked about. And then, you know, you just talk about when you fell in love with rock and roll. And I think it's cool you mentioned Black Sabbath so many times, and that Black Sabbath is the band that made me say what you said in your book about, you know, wanting to escape and just like losing all control. That's how I knew that I loved that music.
They're extremely powerful and very deep, and their music is very deep. You know, and when you hear it, it just, you either hate it or can't take it or just are mesmerized by the darkness of it. And, you know, it just had such a feel to it when it first came out. I remember hearing it for the first time. It was absolutely life-changing.
Yeah, you wrote how it confirmed your feelings about the music that you knew you loved.
It really did.
Yeah, that's cool. Do you have a specific concert memory of theirs that you remember really well?
Probably the very first one I ever saw, which was 1972, if you can imagine. The Long Beach Arena in California, it was packed. I mean, it was completely sold out, I think 20,000 or less people. And people were jumping off the rafters, and things were different back then, you know. You could do a lot of things that you're not allowed to do now. Like, the place was full of smoke. Everybody was smoking all kinds of stuff.
Crazy.
I don't know. It just, the vibe and the vibrations and the power that was coming off the stage was just insane.
Yeah.
And it sucked me right in.
Yeah. Yeah, you said you dreamed of making people feel the way Black Sabbath made you feel. Does it feel special now that you, you've achieved that goal?
Yeah, it's pretty bizarre that it came full circle. Very happy. I'm very happy that it did. You know, meeting Ozzy and having a top 10 hit single with Ozzy and seeing him as a little kid, not even paying any attention to him. I was focused on the guitar player.
Yeah.
And then becoming engaged to the guitar player.
Yeah.
And having everything happen that happened. You know, some of it was great. Some of it was just crushing, horrible. And that your idol, your superhero, you know, the person you admire the most next to your parents.
Right.
At least I do, or did. Turns out to be someone that you don't think is.
Yeah.
You know?
That sucks. That sucks to hear. But, I mean, you never really know anyone until you get close to them. And I think that's a risk that you have to take, you know, in life.
For sure.
Yeah, there's another quote of yours I really like. You said, "It's more or less the attitude I loved, and that attitude is a part of me, so I was able to relate to it more than any other attitude in music." I loved that. And then obviously the next chunk I loved was about the Runaways, because that was one of my favorite bands in high school when I was 14. I started listening to the Runaways, and it was so awesome. You know, just feeling rebellious, and I had a lot of crap going on with my dad, who was an addict, got kicked out of the house and stuff, and all I wanted to do was run away. And I'm lucky I had a CD player blasting that through my head.
You found your escape.
Yeah.
Wow.
Did you guys realize that you were having this impact on, you know, young girls and stuff at the time?
Not really. We were, I mean, I was so into the music. And I think the main places we realized we had impact on people was Europe and Japan. It was just because of the culture differences and the way the people were so different than the people here in America, the way they looked. I mean, it felt like you could see the craziness and the emotion coming out of the girls, especially the guys going nuts in Europe. I mean, it would just be, like I said in the book, it was a sea of leather and denim when we played.
Cool.
And the girls didn't go. There might have been two girls at the show hovering off into the corner and trying to stay away from these crazy guys that were just, you know, jacking off.
Yeah.
Playing with themselves during the show.
Gross.
And they would stick it in a condom and throw it up on stage.
Oh my God.
I mean, the stuff that, you know, we had to deal with, you know, it was, you either run away or you pick it up and throw it back.
Yeah,
at them,
I love that. Oh my gosh. Did you all kind of have that attitude, or were some of the girls, you know, shyer about stuff like that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, we were all different, of course. Yeah. We were all very different. You know, Sandy was in the back, and the drummer, and didn't get, I don't know, just didn't get hounded as much as we did. Like, guys would try and throw us off. It was a real fight between male and female. It really was. Especially one concert I'd gone to, this guy tried to open a can of beer and squirt me with this can of beer. He stood right in front of me, and I was watching him while I was playing, and he didn't think I was watching him. He thought I was looking out at the crowd. But I was looking down at him, and I knew he was going to open that can of beer and try and squirt me down with it. So I waited, and I'm like maybe 18 at the time. I waited for him to open that can. He held it up, and he was just getting ready to pop the cork, pop the cap, and I kicked him in the wrist.
Oh, my God.
And that beer went flying backwards over the heads of all the people behind him.
Yes.
And he split. I think I broke his wrist. I mean, I had on the high-heeled platform shoe boots. I had a whole closet of those. Those were badass.
Yeah, so you're moving now. You said you went to the Goodwill. Did you drop some of those off?
No. No, I'm going to do a backstage auction.
Ooh.
Backstage auction, I'm going to give them a little bit of stuff. They treat your stuff with in class, you know. It's not like eBay or something like that. It's very classy the way they sell your items. There's a little history behind it, and you get an authenticity certificate of authenticity, and it's very well done, so...
Cool. I love that.
Go through them.
What was your favorite moment in fashion throughout your career?
I think just since I've made my comeback from living on the islands, I sat down with a paper and pencil, and I drew what I wanted. I knew what I wanted. I saw it in my head. I knew the material. I knew what it was going to look like. And I sat down and drew it. And then... I looked at it and I thought, okay, now I got to get someone to make it. And that was the hard part, was trying to find someone to make it, you know, because it was made out of leather.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't work with leather. They don't have the right machinery. You got to know the mathematics of something like that. Like, my body shape is very skinny at the waist and big in the boobs, and it's mathematics. It's all mathematics. So I found this leather mathematical whiz. I mean, the guy was just genius, and he started working on my first suit, and it turned out exactly what I wanted. The guy that makes my guitar straps made my belts and my handcuffs, and that was probably the most rewarding out of all the clothes that I have designed, because it turned out so badass. And then I did a couple in red, which I'm sure you've seen.
Yeah, I love those.
So if one's too hot or worn out or whatever, I'll put on the other one.
Well, thanks so much, Lita. I'm really glad we got to talk. I really enjoy talking to you, and I've enjoyed learning about you through your music and your writing. And just how cool you are, really down to earth. I think it's really awesome. And I think your fans are super excited to see you at the Medina this Saturday night with April Wine. So yeah. That'll be fun. That'll be a party, huh?
Yeah, definitely. I know on our end it definitely will be. So please don't miss it. It's going to be a killer show.
Yep. Cool.
We got some kick-ass musicians in the band, and and they just all they all get their moment in the limelight, and we put on a great show. It's very, you're going to be hot, sweaty, and energized when you come out of there.
Perfect.
And you might even get a speeding ticket.
That's okay.
That's what we need, right?
It's worth it.
All right, dear. You guys have a great day, and it was my pleasure.
Yep. Talk to you soon, Lita. I'll see you Saturday.
See you soon. See you in Medina.
Okay, bye.
Bye.